Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 16, Text 41. Kalaya Kalanabhaya. Kalavaya Vasakshine. Vishvaya Tadupadaste. Takarche Vishvahetave. Kalaya Kalinabhaya. Kalavaya Vasakshine. Vishaya tat upadraste. Takate vishvahetave. Chant. Kalaya kalanabhaya. Kalavaya vasakshine. Ladies. Takarche vishahete kalaya. On to time. Kalanabhaya. On to him who is the shelter of time. Kala avayava. Of the various phases of time. Sakshine. To the witness. Vishvaya. To the form of the universe. Tadupadasche. To the observer of it. Takarche. To the creator of it. Vishva. Of the universe. Hetave. To the total cause. Obeisances unto you, who are time itself, the shelter of time, and the witness of time in all its phases. You are the universe, and also its separate observer. You are its creator, and also the totality of all its causes. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, although appearing in different incarnations, can never be limited by time, since he is time itself, the shelter of time and the witness of time in all its phases. Mukam karati vachalam pangam langayate girim yakripam tamham vande shri gurum tinatavinam om agyana timirandasya gyanan shara shalakaya chakshunitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So there are many references to time in this verse, kalaya, kalanabaya, sakshine. So I'm going to concentrate on the first two, kalaya and kalanabaya. Kalaya means time, and time is perceived, this aspect of Krishna, because the Nagapatnis are praying to Supreme Lord Krishna, and they're calling him these different names. And the first name they call him is time. But the non-devotees, they are the ones who perceive Krishna as time. And Kaliya was also perceiving Krishna like that when he was chastising him. And so time, everyone's afraid of time. And because it means the destruction of this body, it brings so many difficulties in our lives, time. Then the second name they call him is Kala Nabhaya. And this is more personal, unto him who is the shelter of time. So the devotees see this aspect of time, Krishna as time. They see him as the shelter of time, whereas the non-devotees see Krishna as time. He is time for the non-devotees, and he is Krishna, the shelter of time, for the devotees. So how the non-devotees see time, another name for time is Kala Sarpa, the snake of time. In that sense, Kaliya is also a snake. And Krishna is also, in the form of time, Krishna is also a snake. Because they have similarities. The snakes, they creep up on you, and before you know it, they bite you when you least expect it. And when you're caught, you feel like the rat in the mouth of the cat. So the non-devotees, they are caught by time. The snake of time, they don't expect. Nobody, and that was the most wonderful thing that Yudhisthira said, that everyone is dying around you, but everyone is thinking, I will not die. And when they get the notice, then they can't believe it. You know, why me? You know, why not you? Everybody has to die. And so Yudhisthira again, in another, he was asked four very important questions, and one of the questions was, what is the most wonderful thing? And another important question he was asked is, what is the news of this world? And so what is the news? This world is like a frying pan. And we've got the frying pan. We know what the frying pan is. It's an analogy, right? So I'm going to tell you the analogy, but I'm not going to tell you what's what. So you're going to have to tell me that if you can. The world is like a frying pan. And then we've got the sun. Is one thing. Oh, I shouldn't have told you that. Oh, anyway. Okay. All right. We've got, I won't tell you what the sun is. I'll leave that out. We've got the fuel, we've got the stirring ladle, and we've got the cook. So, first I'll ask you the other ones. What is the fuel? Who can? This is going to have to be in relationship to time, all of it. That's a hint. Day and night, right. The fuel is the day and night, okay. What is the stirring ladle of this frying pan? No, we got to think about time again. No, time. Think of time. Months and seasons, okay. So what is the sun here in this analogy? So fire, very good. The fire is the sun. It's all, everything's in relation to time, actually, and this is the news. And guess who the cook is? Time, very good. You got that. So we have our frying pan. We're all in, this is the news, in case you didn't know. this is the news of what's happening. We're frying in the pan. And some of us are already fried, but when old age comes, you're kind of almost done, crisp, mostly almost well done. But we have the fire, the sun is the fire. Days and nights are the fuel, the months and seasons are the stirring ladle, and time is the cook. So we're all being cooked by time. And the youth may not realize it or understand this. We couldn't comprehend. We never thought we'd, old age is for us. But it did happen. even to us. And death is also going to happen. So Bhishma also, he could not understand this time. How wonderful is the influence of inevitable time. It is irreversible. Otherwise, how can there be reverses in the presence of King Yudhisthira, the son of the demigod controlling religion, Bhima, the great fighter, the strongest person in the world, and Arjuna, the greatest archer, and above all, Krishna, the Lord, the well-wisher of the Pandavas. And still, despite all these advantages, the Pandavas had so much distress and so much trouble. And so Prabhupada explains, the Pandavas suffered so many practical reverses, which can only be explained as due to the influence of Kala, inevitable time. Kala is identical with the Lord himself, therefore the influence of Kala indicates the inexplicable wish of the Lord himself. So in case you're wondering if something happens that you don't expect or don't like, it's the inexplicable, everybody knows what that means, inexplicable wish of the Lord. It means you can't understand it, so don't try. But still, the question comes up, why do great devotees suffer? And Srila Prabhupada, in another purport by Bhishma, explains that, of course, here in America, you don't have this analogy. In India, it's almost still current that the mother teaches the daughter-in-law by teaching the daughter. Because in previous, some years ago, the daughter-in-law used to live with the mother-in-law. But nowadays, even in India, it's not happening. So this analogy, they don't understand either. But actually, so what this means is that the Lord teaches the world by teaching the devotee. And Prabhupada says the devotees don't have to learn anything, but because the Lord teaches a sincere devotee from within the heart. He doesn't even have to learn. He'll learn everything in the heart. Yasya devi para. Bhakti yada de dev tata guru tasaite katita yata prakashante mahatmanaha. Yes, he will learn everything in the heart. Yes. So Prabhupada said, whenever a show is made to teach the devotee, as in the case of Bhagavad Gita, it's for teaching the less intelligent men. So now listen to this. This is how we're supposed to accept trials and tribulations. A devotee's duty, therefore, is to ungrudgingly accept tribulations from the Lord as a benediction. Because we're meant to show the world how to live in this world even despite all the problems. When Prabhupada was very sick one time, he had a fever and stomach problem for 3 days. Shudakirti was watching him. And then on the third day, Prabhupada was okay, and Shudakirti very cautiously ventured a question, do pure devotees suffer? He didn't want to say directly, did you suffer? Because he's afraid of getting the sauce. And Shudakirti is a very mild person. So he said, do pure devotees suffer? And Prabhupada's answer was, no, it was a lover's bite. So he saw the hand of Krishna in that fever and tossing and turning. He saw that, Krishna was biting him. Yes, and this is actually the analogy of the kitten in the mouth of the cat. We feel the teeth sometimes being carried by the mother cat. Krishna is the mother cat. And sometimes, Prabhupada says this in a purport in Kapila Dev's teachings, that he extends the analogy. Of course, at the time of death, we know the kitten in the mouth of the cat is like the devotee at the time of death. And he knows he's very secure, he's very safe in Krishna's hands, because he knows where the mother's taking him. The mother's taking him back home. Maybe he's strayed away somewhere and the mother's taking him. So, but even before death, if we feel the teeth of the mother cat, it means it's Krishna taking us another direction. Maybe we're going in the wrong direction. And so why do people fear time? Because Bhagavatam tells us, again, in the teachings of Kapila, 3rd canto, 29th chapter, verse 37, there's a verse about time. The time factor who causes the transformation of the various material manifestation is another feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyone who does not know that time is the same Supreme Personality is afraid of the time factor. So you're going to be afraid if you don't know time is Krishna. But a devotee, he knows, okay, this is just another form of Krishna. So he has nothing to fear from time. And Prabhupada said, yes, we have more or less seen Krishna as time, Vishvarupa, during wartime in Calcutta in 1942. There was a siren, we ran to the bomb shelter, and the bombing began. In this way, we were seeing that Vishvarupa. And I was thinking, of course, this is also just another form of Krishna, but this is not a very lovable form. And I also heard another place that he was eating samosas, and the sirens went off, and he had to finish his samosas before he went to the shelter. He didn't want to finish. He didn't want to leave his samosas. So a devotee wants to love Krishna in his original form. This Visharupa is not the original form. Time is not for the devotee. So Krishna, his lovable form is that of Krishna, Shyamasundar. Prabhupada gives the example, a man may be a police officer, but when he comes home, he's a beloved father. But if he comes home firing his guns, then the son might be afraid. You know, it's my father, I know, but you know, why is he shooting his guns now? And so Arjuna, he saw the universal form, and so he wanted to see the beautiful form of Krishna. The child loves his father when he's at home, like a father. So we love Krishna, Prabhupada said, when he's in his eternal abode at Shyamasundar. So I'm just wondering, here we have the form of time. Have any of you ever seen the form of time, or are you seeing the form of time? I'm just wondering, anybody, you don't have to explain it or anything. You can just raise your hand if you have seen, yes. Okay, so if you haven't, then you know, don't worry, you will. it will happen. So that's Kala, the form of time. Now Kala Nabhaya, the shelter of time. This is how devotees see time. Prahlad Maharaj, we're discussing in the evening, says the time element is your representation. No one can conquer you. As for me, however, I am being crushed by the wheel of time. So even devotees get crushed by time, but they have a solution. He says, therefore, I surrender fully unto you. Now kindly take me under the protection of your lotus feet. So Prabhupada explains in that purport that suffering humanity must surrender to Krishna. As Krishna himself demands, sarva-dharmam parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. And then Prabhupada says a very wonderful thing. All of human society must take advantage of this offer and thus be saved by Krishna. What is the offer? Surrender to me, I'll protect you, do not fear. So Krishna is giving us an offer. And last night we heard what I was speaking, that Prabhupada said a very wonderful thing about this Sarvadharman verse. Not only is Krishna giving us an offer, but this is very confidential knowledge about Krishna. And there is a verse in the prayers of Prahlad where he said, when will you call me to you? And Prabhupada said that in Bhagavad Gita, this verse, surrender to me, I will protect you. This is Krishna calling Arjuna because he was a dear friend. So Krishna is calling all of us in that verse, surrender to me. He's actually calling, and that was our homework for today. He's calling us, surrender to me. You may think that he's not calling you, but he is calling you. Prabhupada said in this verse of Bhagavad Gita, he's calling us. So we should hear the call and don't be crushed. If we want to be safe from being crushed, prapanam, then we have to surrender. So another aspect of time in this verse is kala avaya sakshine, the witness of the various phases of time. Now Kunti Devi saw this aspect of time when she offered her prayers to Krishna. Manye tvam kalam ishanam anadi nitaram vipum, that you are eternal time, supreme controller without beginning and end, the all-pervasive one, the witness. Now, here's another interesting thing about time, which I'm not sure you're aware of, that Prabhupada says that another name of the Paramatma feature of the Lord is Kala, or eternal time. So internally, we have the super soul, but he expands externally as time. That's another of his expansions. So Paramatma is also time, in the sense that he is the witness, and he gives us what we deserve. And sometimes he gives us what we desire. Eternal witness of all our actions, good and bad. So he gives us our reactions. Prabhupada said, it is no use saying we don't know why and for what we are suffering. We may forget the misdeed, for which we suffer now, but we have to remember Paramatma is our constant companion. He knows everything past, present, and future. And because he destines all actions, he is the supreme controller. So if we're worried about his external representation, then we should surrender to the Lord in the heart, and he will protect us. So therefore, what to do? We know all these things. Time is going to crush us. Devotees don't waste time. Avyartakalatvam. This is a symptom of bhava. Devotees don't like to waste time. And there is another verse in the Bhagavatam, first canto, fifth chapter, verse 18. Tasaiva heto prayate takovido. Those who are intelligent in this world, of the frying pan, philosophically inclined, they should endeavor for that thing which you haven't gotten yet by wandering to the highest planet down to the lowest, or from this country to that country, or this place to that place, or this wife to that wife, this husband to that husband, this body to that body. You should look for that thing which you haven't gotten yet, because this type of happiness will come automatically. You don't have to look for it. Just like distress comes automatically, even though we don't desire them, these distresses. So, therefore, the devotee must not waste time, and Prabhupada never wasted time, not a minute. Now, a very interesting thing about time that devotees should also know, and I'm not sure you know about this, this is in seventh canto, when as the question was asked, it seems like the Lord favors the demigods. And actually, of course, he's impartial. He gives everybody what they deserve. But it's a fact. He does favor mode of goodness. And there's verse 12, 7th canto, chapter 1. The time factor enhances the sattva guna. Although the Lord is the controller, he favors the demigods, who are mostly situated in sattva. Then the demons, who are influenced by tama, are annihilated. The Supreme Lord induces the time factor to act in different ways, but he is never partial. So isn't that interesting? Time favors goodness. It seems like the opposite. Time favors, you know, destruction. You're always, everything's deteriorating in this world. But actually, the purpose, if you go back to the beginning of creation and you find out what is the purpose of creation, you can say it in one word. Who knows what is that purpose of creation in one word? What's that? Rectification, something better. Okay, well, raise your hand, because I got a lot of answers. Yes?
Enlightenment.
Enlightenment, you're getting closer. Yes?
Enjoyment.
No. Not enjoyment. Okay, yeah, that's much closer. That's much closer. Echo Bohusyam. Yeah, okay. We're coming around the point there. It does have something to do with that. But okay, now I'll give you a hint. Think of what the Lord is thinking when he creates. Maya, to wake up Maya. Okay. Yeah, we're in third canto. It's actually in third canto. To wake up Maya. The word is compassion. The purpose of creation is compassion, actually, in one word. If you study third canto very carefully, you will find this. And what is that compassion? It is for those who want to go back to Godhead. It is compassion for those souls who want to be rectified, who want to love Krishna, who want to go back to Godhead. That is the purpose of creation. And in the seventh canto also, the same thing comes up with the Acharya's commentaries, that it is the compassion for the devotees, and that's why he creates. He wants to bring the devotees back to him. And actually, everyone's a devotee, but some people have forgotten it, and some people know. So that is, and so therefore, he favors the devotees. He favors those who are in the mode of goodness. And that's why, that's in first canto also, that he comes as Lord Vishnu to favor the devotees. And that's the form the devotees worship. Now, coming back to this Kaliya Lila, there is a future verse in this chapter, verse 50. And the wives are praying that, you know, now Kali is no longer meant to be chastised by you. He's come over to the devotee side. He's not a demon anymore. So therefore, they have another prayer here, that he can now be favored by you, like devotees are favored. So the 50th verse, therefore, all material bodies throughout the three worlds, those that are peaceful in the mode of goodness, those that are agitated in the mode of passion, and those that are foolish in the mode of ignorance are all your creations. Still, those living entities whose bodies are in the mode of goodness are especially dear to you, and it is to maintain them and protect their religious principles that you are now present on the earth. So they're emphasizing that those who are in the mode of goodness, Krishna is coming for them. So they're saying, okay, although Kaliya was born in ignorance, still now he has become a devotee, so therefore you should favor him. As time, you have chastised him, now you should favor him because he has become your devotee. And he will favor him because his wives are devotees. So there's a time for creation, a time for destruction, time for annihilation. The beginning of creation, there's another verse in second canto. There's penance, Brahma, the Prajapatis, the great sages who generate. During maintenance, there is Lord Vishnu, the demigods, controlling powers, and the kings. And at the end, there's irreligion, Lord Shiva, and the atheists, full of anger. And all of them are representatives, are manifestations of the energy of the Lord. So first there's all the people in passion, the beginning of creation, Brahma, the Prajapatis, and the sages. And then when it's maintenance time, there's Vishnu, the devotees, the demigods, the kings. They're supposed to maintain this place. And then now we're getting a taste in Kali Yuga of the destruction time, the atheists, the irreligion, Lord Shiva. People like to worship Lord Shiva. And these are different modes of the nature for different times. But now you see in Bhagavatam, sometimes there's a verse that says, now it is time for the mode of goodness. So therefore, we should worship Vishnu. But one important thing is that the devotees are beyond time. They are not under this kala, sarpa. And right at the beginning of Bhagavatam, it says that in the first canto, 16th chapter, as long as the sages are talking, and they say, as long as Yamaraj, who causes everyone's death, is present here, no one shall meet with death. The great sages have invited Yamaraj to Bhagavatam class. So then it says, living beings under his grip should take advantage by hearing the deathless nectar in the form of Bhagavatam, this past narration of pastimes of the Lord. So Yamaraj is also here because he likes to come to Bhagavatam class, so therefore we're not under the control of time, except some of you have to go to work, maybe, I don't know. But as far as death goes, don't worry. As long as we're hearing Bhagavatam, then it's okay. We're protected. So Prabhupada explained this verse. He said Yamaraj instructed his messengers that when you see a devotee, offer your respects. You don't go to them. You go to those people who don't want to chant Hare Krishna and bring them. When Prabhupada first came to India in 1971 in Gorakhpur, he was giving a class and there were a lot of respectable Indian gentlemen present. And he was lecturing on the Ajamila pastime, and he's talking about the Yamadutas. And he said, he's talking about, okay, you bring those who don't chant the holy name. So Prabhupada said, you bring those who don't become life members of ISKCON. So they all became life members real quickly in Gorakhpur. So, because if a pure devotee says something, it'll come true. So they had to really do it. He knew how to preach, time, place, and circumstance. People say, no, devotees, we see your devotees dying also, you know, but it's not the same. It's like a kitten in the mouth of the cat. Like in Vrindavan, if somebody's dying, as I mentioned yesterday, somebody's on their death, they say, I got a letter from Radharani. She's calling me. And so that's how the devotees see time and death. So we should be ready, you know, to get the letter of Radharani or Krishna, you know, maybe one or the other. In Vrindavan, it's Radharani because she's in control there. Everywhere else, it might be Krishna, but not in Vrindavan. So I guess this is new Raman Reti, so I guess Radharani's in control here too. There we were at Govardhan Retreat, and there was one brahmachari, and he had a severe pain. He was one of our pujaris, so he called up, "I can't come, I'm dying, I got such a pain in my stomach." He started giving all his things away. And then we sent one of our devotees, Adi Purush, to check up on him. And so he went to that devotee, and he looked at him. He said, "Prabhu, you just have gas." But he was ready, you know. He was a young brahmachari. He's ready to leave his body, you know. So we should be ready also. Die at Govardhan Hill, you know. Leave your body at Govardhan. It's quite an interesting idea. So in Vrindavan, everybody's ready at all times. Now, Prabhupada said a very interesting thing about this, this verse about Yamaraj. "Try to perceive the truth. Since you've begun Krishna consciousness, your death has been stopped." So our death has been stopped. He said, but don't fall down and again capture death. So in that purport to that verse, every human being dislikes meeting death. He does not know how to get rid of death. The surest remedy for avoiding death is to accustom oneself to hearing nectarian pastimes of the Lord as they are systematically narrated in the texts of Bhagavatam. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, 24 hours, Prabhupada would say, either Kirtanaya Sadahari or Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, 24 hours. So there's a beautiful verse again in 2nd canto, 3rd chapter, Ayurharati Vaipungsan Udyanaste. So anyway, it's with every rising and setting of the sun decreases duration of life of everyone except one who is using the time to discuss the topics of the Lord. And the beautiful Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he's describing early in the morning, Lord Chaitanya gets up and goes on Harinam, and he announces to the people who are still sleeping, "You spend your nights uselessly sleeping and the daytime decorating your bodies. You've received this greatest gift of the human form, but you do not care for it. Not caring for the darling of Yashoda, you slowly fall through your last moments till death. With every rising and setting of the sun, a day passes and is lost. So why do you remain idle and not serve the Lord of the heart?" And so here in this material world, we see Krishna as time. Devotees see him as the shelter of time. But in the spiritual world, it's different. There's no past, present, and future. Even in India, where they have this spiritual culture, there is hardly any past or future. That they have one word, same word for past and future, kala. So how do you know if it's past or future? You tell by the verb. Like if you're going somewhere, then it's, you know, I'm going, then it's tomorrow, means tomorrow. And if you went already, it means yesterday, but the same word, means tomorrow and yesterday. When I went to Mathura recently to pick up my visa registration, he said, "Yeah, I got it tomorrow already." I didn't want to correct him because I thought, you know, maybe he might change his mind. So I just said, "Yeah, okay, you got it tomorrow." And he gave it to me. So I was hesitant to correct his English because I thought maybe he might take, you know, change his mind. I waited till I got my passport in my hand, or my visa. But because in India they do these things, you have to be careful who you correct. So anyway, Prabhupada also was beyond time. As many devotees experienced, if he glanced at you, then you were stopped, and you were just completely in another dimension, as Prabhupada was in another dimension. And he never wasted time. Shuddha Kirti tells that, you know, Prabhupada was really above time because his age was, like, I remember also on the morning walk in Juhu, 75, he's in his 70s, we're in our 20s, and I was always, you know, trying to figure him out with my intelligence. How does he walk so fast? And how does he doesn't get tired? And we are trying to keep up with him, you know, we're so young, and, you know, I never figured it out. But, during one flight from New York, I told this story last year, but it's quite nice. Devotees arranged for seats in the same row as Prabhupada, and Shuddha Kirti was there next to him. He said as the flight progressed, some of his disciples began to fall asleep and do the devotee dive bomb. It's quite a sight seeing a row of shaven heads bobbing up and down. Shuddha Prabhupada was not amused. "Just see," he said, Everyone is wide awake except for the devotees. They are in Maya, sleeping. Everyone else is awake. Why? They cannot stay awake. Yeah. So Shudakirti said, I learned there was no such thing as a good reason for Prabhupada. He said, so there wasn't a point you could make that Prabhupada couldn't defeat, and I wasn't advanced enough to have him start chastising me on a regular basis, he said. So I didn't even try to argue the devotees only slept a few hours compared to the non-devotees. Prabhupada spent a few more minutes making his point, and one thing was certain, I did not sleep on that flight. So Prabhupada was way beyond, you know, he would, as the servants described, he would go to a, he didn't care about time zones. He was completely, he would just know his schedule, he'd say, what time is it? And he'd start whatever, if it was 4:30 in the morning, he didn't sleep all night, it was time for his japa translation. If it was 11, it was time for his massage. And the servants were in the time zone, so they couldn't quite keep up with him. And then he would always chastise them, you know, why are you sleeping? And, you know, they couldn't tell, you know. They couldn't say that we are not Paramahansas like you. But actually, Prabhupada showed how he was beyond time and how the devotee can be beyond time. Another thing about time is that even though Krishna is the controller of time, still the devotees think differently when they think about worshipping Krishna, the deity. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj had a darshan of Radha Govinda, Prabhupada's deities, near his house. And he saw the pujari putting beautiful, nice clothes on the deities. Then he put a watch on. And we know Krishna is in control of time, and we take care of him. We think he needs to know the time, too. So even in some temple I was in, there was a cell phone and it was ringing in the deity room, you know, and I was wondering who it belonged to, you know. Anyway, and so what we learn is from this verse is that it's good to be in the mode of goodness, it's good to be a devotee, so that you'll be favored by time. And also another thing, don't waste time. You can't buy it back. Yeah. So therefore, we need to follow Prabhupada's example as far as possible and his advice. Kirtaniya Sadahari, always chant Hare Krishna, or Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, always serve Bhagavatam, two Bhagavatas. And we'll stop here. I believe it's about time. 8:45. I'm 2 minutes early. Okay, so anybody have any questions or comments they would like to make about this? Yes, Prabhu.
Just a little comment. There's a
comment, thank you.
There's a verse in one of the Purans, I don't remember, but it says, time wears away everything unnoticed, just like
unnoticed.
Mm-hmm. An unbaked clay pot placed in water disappears imperceptibly.
Oh. Time wears away everything, just as a clay pot in water disappears imperceptibly. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, it's imperceptible. If you study Uddhava Gita, then you will see how it's so imperceptible. We don't notice it. But until you hit a certain age, and then you definitely notice it. Every new wrinkle, every new pain in the wherever, in the different places, you notice time is doing its work. Yeah. Any other comments, questions? Yes, Prabhu, here. Oh, Guru Kripa.
Tells a story on his memory tape how he was called by Prabhupada in Hawaii.
Oh,
in the middle of the night. You saw that, right?
I heard that, yeah.
And it was like 1 in the morning. Prabhupada said, so where were you? He said, I was sleeping, you know. Why were you sleeping?
Really? Yeah, 1
Prabhupada,
o'clock.
It's 1 in the morning. But why are you tired? You know, I'm not tired.
Yeah, Prabhupada kept defeating everything. Then he learned, what was his final, I surrender?
Yeah, it went on. There was a couple more questions. It got more and more intense. There was no excuse. Well, Prabhupada, you know.
No excuse, right? Yeah.
And Bhajahari told a story also when they were doing the manor, how they were up till 2 in the morning fixing the manor, and then hardly anyone at Mangal. So then Prabhupada said, why weren't you at Mangal Artik? So Prabhupada were up till 2 and 1 in the morning, whatever it was. I don't care if you're up till 4 in the morning. Mangal Arati.
Oh, Jai. Thank you. And here in the front, yeah. Probably in the front.
Well, thank you for the nice class. In the Bhagavad Gita, there's the discussion about certain, I mean, don't remember it that well, but I know that there are certain things that are eternal, but it's described that like the karma, the living entities.
There's five topics of Gita's, five topics, yeah. Kala, five. Karma, Jiva, Ishvara, and what's the other one?
But
Maya,
then,
Prakriti.
But then there's Prabhupada mentions there about time, and I was
time is eternal.
The time is eternal, but then in the spiritual world, it is conspicuous by its absence.
Yeah, well, the time as we know it is conspicuous by its absence. It means there's no past and future. Everything is new, like you did it the first time. Like, yeah, there's no past and future. So you can try to think about it, but it's beyond, you have to go there, yes? Right. Right, it doesn't break things down. Yeah. It serves Krishna there. I mean, it serves the pastime, it serves the devotees, it serves the Leela. Time serves the Leela in the spiritual world. And you can change it around, like, you know, there's the six-season forest. So if you want to have spring, and then you want to have, instead of what comes after spring is summer, instead of summer you could have monsoon, you know, or you could have winter. You just go and choose which one you want. And then there's one forest that has all of them. So so time is under the control of the devotees of Krishna in Goloka. It's quite different. Like here, you know, it used to go consecutively. Now it's all crazy, but... yeah, you could choose what time you wanted to have. Another example in the Dwarka Leela, when Narada Muni visited the 16,108 palaces of Krishna, and he was seeing Krishna doing a different thing in each palace. And another interesting thing that the acharyas point out is that each palace, it was a different time. In one palace, it was the morning, he was doing morning things. One palace, it was noon, he was doing noon things. Another palace, it was evening. Another palace, it was night. So there was all kind of different time zones. Each palace had his own time zone. So it's like, you know, the concept of time, we can't fathom it. Like you go to a different palace and you have a different time zone. You know, it's like a whole another realm there. You can, you know, who knows how what he does with time there, yeah? Yeah, he would go and...
All the palaces, and he would come out and...
I know. Yeah, well, yeah, okay. But that morning might have been at a different time at different palaces, you know. Okay, so figure that one out. It's just, you have to... You can't think like we do here. Can't be logical. It's not logical. In morning, he comes from all the palaces. That's logical, but then what if it's not morning in all the palaces? Anyway... Yeah, 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 simultaneous, yeah, the different time zones, yeah, 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 it's happening simultaneously, the different time zones. It's not like Narada Muni traveled to a different time zone when he was traveling from one palace to the other, but but it's just like that. And so Krishna can adjust time as he wants, you know, if he wants it to be night, then why not, you know, he's God. And so we can't do that. Yeah. But then there's the Eightfold Pastimes, so that goes on, you know, there is a logical sequence there. So, you know, that's going on, then there's all these different, you know, so many things are going on at once, different time zones, then there's the Eightfold thing going on, and then there's, you know, the seasons, and it's... Yes?
We have a...
Okay. Intense emotions. Okay. Time stood still.
So,
yeah.
A lot of these types of inconceivable things is understood
Yeah. Well, I had a friend who actually, the time stood still for her, literally. She was she was in Ireland, and she had to catch a boat with her car. She had to drive to a certain place to catch a boat. And there wasn't enough time, and there was huge traffic jams. And she, it takes an hour and a half to get from where she started. And she was chanting Hare Krishna and the Shringa Mantra the whole way. And somehow they made a boat, which meant it only took a half hour instead of hour and a half. So figure that one out. No, there was traffic, there was jams even, you know, they couldn't drive fast. And somehow, they got there in a half hour. So devotees are beyond time. Okay, any other questions or comments? Jaya Gosha Prabhupada, Hare Krishna.